Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hi.
I have an adorable story today that I'm so excited to share with you. There are such cute validations in it that I think people are going to find it really heartwarming. And I'm going to name this client Tula. So at the beginning of the session, Tula, first of all, is over the phone. So we can't see each other. And she just says to me, look, Karen, I have a half hour. And she says, I'd like to see if you can connect with my dog that's passed. And immediately I'm just thrilled because I get a whole half hour to talk to a dog that's passed over. And I find people that call and ask for their pets delightful because they're so in love with their pets. So she tells me her dog's name is Lulu. And I said, Lulu, what do you want to say to mom? How do you want to start? And Lulu says to me, well, I'm a lap dog and I am pure white. I have no markings. And I am the smallest of lap dogs. I am a very tiny lap dog. And I did. That's exactly where I wanted to be, was on her lap, in the car, at home, wherever. If she was sitting down or dad was sitting down, I wanted to be on their lap. And I said, okay. I said, I can start with that. So I said, well, I said, I have your dog and your dog is a lap dog, very, very tiny. And I explained all of it, the color, everything. And she says, oh, she says, you can see her. You can see Lulu. And she got really excited. And I said, no. I said, I don't actually see her. I said, she's describing it to me. I'm hearing her. And she goes, oh, well, she says, I don't know then that you can get her.
So was the information wrong?
No, the information was correct.
This is like math in elementary school all over again. Oh, you got the correct answer, but you didn't write it all down, so I don't trust that you can do it.
Exactly.
But I got the right answer.
Talk about gaslighting somebody. Yeah. So anyway, so she says, well, she says, Karen, I don't believe. She says that you've got my dog if you can't see my dog.
Well, I guess you don't either then, lady. I guess you don't have your dog because you can't see her either. Oh. This logic is terrible.
Yeah. It is. So then I continued. Thank you for sharing that, Kelly. And then I continued because you just kind of move along, right? Like you have a choice at this point to get in an argument with a client or to try to get into explanations, or you just decide that you're going to continue to channel and eventually they're going to understand because you give enough validations that they have to go,
I've been an ass. And I assume she has this realization because you did call it heartwarming. So go on.
Yeah. So I just moved along. I didn't stay on that in the least. I just continued and I said, okay, Lulu, what else do you want to tell mom? And she says, well, she says, I want to say that I was a very old dog. I was 12 when I passed. So I said, Lulu, what else do you want to say to mom today? And she goes, well, she says, I was about 12 years old when I passed, and mom and dad took me to the vet. They had to put me down. And I want to talk about mom about that situation, but just listen to me first, Karen. I'm going to say everything to you first. So Lulu tells me that mom and dad take her to the vet, that when they get to the vet clinic, they are welcomed into a private room, that they go into this room, and the first needle, I guess there's a series of needles or a couple of them, but after the first needle, Tula has a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And I feel her panic attack as Lulu is explaining this to me. And she leaves the room. She goes out of the room immediately. But the vet continues and puts Lulu down. And dad's there. So she's with her dad, but not with her mom. So she says, you can start by explaining that. Oh, and Lulu says to me, I was sick for quite a while, so they were prepared for this. This was not a shock. This was not a last minute decision. The vet didn't make a quick call on something. This was a planned appointment. They knew what they were bringing me in for. The protocol was explained in advance by somebody on staff over the phone to say, you know, it's a process. You're welcome to be in the room. Like she said, Lulu explains everything was well explained to her, and this is what happened when she got there. So I explained all of this to Tula, and she says, "Oh, Karen." And then there's just this silence. And Lulu says to me, tell her that I'm not mad at her. Tell her that I didn't feel lonely without her. I had Dad with me. I had the vet with me. There was another person in the room. I felt loved. I felt cared for. Tell her I know that I mean everything in the world to her. And that not being there at the very last second doesn't wipe out all of the care, all of the love that she's given me. And I want her to know that I love her, that there's nothing to get over. There's nothing to forgive. There's nothing to work through to repair between the two of us. She doesn't need to apologize. She can stop beating herself up over this, tormenting herself, reliving these moments, trying to rewrite them in her mind. She says, "I've come through today to tell Mom what a beautiful mom she is, not to try to repair something." So she says, "Please tell her that so we can move on." So I did. I said, "Look, Tula," I said, "Lulu's here and wants to describe what happened when she passed. She wants to say all these things to you and move past this." Holy jumping, Kelly. You talk about a woman that went through a ton of emotions, and I could hear them over the phone. I could hear her cry. There was a long pause. And during all of that time that Tula needs to absorb what Lulu has said to her and process that, I just stayed completely silent and did long distance energy healing on Tula. And just thought she just needs love and support to process this, not a bunch of explanations. And then that, I'm going to say, consider that this is over the phone and that over the phone seconds feel like eternity sometimes. I'm going to say that took her a good, I'm just going to roughly say maybe at least a minute of complete silence. And we just sat in it together for a little while. And I waited for Tula to say to me, "Do you have another message?" Like I waited for her to cue me to continue with the channeling. And when she did, Lulu says to me, "Can you watch something?" And I said, "Yeah, go." And I see Mom, what I would say is an older woman that looks to me like she's easily 70s, maybe 80s. And I see her pushing a stroller. And when the stroller turns around, Kelly, I can see a pillow and blankets on top of the pillow, like layers. And it takes you a few moments to see all of that. And then I see Tula sitting on top of the blanket and top of the pillow. Her mom taking her for walks. And she says, "Please thank her and tell her that I absolutely loved all the walks she took me on."
Lulu was sitting on the blanket.
Oh, sorry. Lulu was sitting on the blanket. Thank you. Yeah,
my brain just scrambled there.
Oh, I'm sorry to everybody listening to that just went, "What? You lost me."
So Tula is an older woman.
Yes.
And she's walking.
She's walking Lulu.
But you wouldn't have known that because this was via the telephone.
That's correct. Gotcha. So now I figure out that this is an older woman.
But you can't have her. Because you didn't see her. You just heard her, right? Right. Okay.
So I see her walking
Lulu
in the stroller. And Kelly, it was so freaking adorable because I can see her pushing her through snow. I can see the stroller being covered in plastic so that they can walk in a snowstorm or a rain. And how beautifully Tula takes care of Lulu, more than herself. So you can see her walking in the snow, pushing the stroller through pouring rain. The dog is completely dry and the human is drenched.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's about right. Yes.
Oh my God, it was so freaking cute. So I said, okay, Tula, I said, I have another thing to tell you. So I told her this and then she said, Karen, that is spot on. And I said, well, I could see all of that. And she goes, oh, she says, you can see things now. Like this. And I said, yes, Tula. I said, we use all of the gifts. We use all of the senses. So I said, did you know earlier? Do you remember earlier when I told you I had your panic attack? And I described the sweating. I said that my heart was pounding. I said, do you remember when I described all of that? And she went, yeah, right. And I said, we use all of the senses. So if you want, I can point out senses to you. And I said, but intuitives, whether we're mediums, whether we're psychics or psychic mediums or whatever it is that we do, many of us have multiple gifts, not just one gift. And I said, and I would imagine for most intuitives that as you use a gift, I would imagine that other gifts come with it, like inner knowings, and it's not just based in one thing. We don't always pause to tell you which gift we're using because we don't want you to be distracted when some people have a very hard time even just absorbing the message. So then she says to me, well, thank you. She says, I do like hearing about when you see things. And I said, okay, I'll try to point out and say, see, when I see something. That's fine. I will do the best that I can for you. So then Lulu says to me, she walked with me in this stroller for probably 5 to 6 years. But I want to point out to you, Karen, that I couldn't go for walks because they were, you know, she would go for like half an hour to an hour. I couldn't do that. But if you see me in our house, she says, I moved around the house. She says, I just couldn't do long distance because it would fatigue me. But I could easily take a little burst of energy and run up and down the stairs. Or I could walk around the house or run in the backyard. And she says, I could do things like that. So you could point out that while I was in a stroller and it looks like I wasn't able to walk, I totally could walk. I couldn't do distance.
Girl, same.
So good.
I'm working on it, but I feel her.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
I love, just absolutely loved how Tula would show me things, tell me things, like use all of the gifts.
Lulu.
Lulu, to validate all these things so that mom's stress could diminish,
mm-hmm.
right? And then she shows me all these little blankets. And they were, I'll say they were dog blankets because I see Lulu on the blankets. And then she shows me
her. Whatever blanket you ever had in your house becomes a dog blanket if you have a dog. So,
oh, that's cute, Kelly. Okay. And then she shows me Tula cutting up pieces of all the blankets. That's funny. Now that you've said every blanket becomes a dog blanket. Well, she shows me that she cuts off corners of blankets, just small little pieces. And then she shows me that she takes all these pieces and she buys like a larger, I'll call it just fabric,
mm-hmm.
and she sews them on with a sewing machine. So I'm understanding that that's called a quilt, but I don't quilt and I don't sew. So somebody listening to this might go, you're wrong. That's not what that's called.
Not the focus. Move on. The point is there's a beautiful mismatch of all of the dog blankets sewn together
yes.
now.
Yes. Yes, and that she's got this, but this blanket now is not the size of a dog blanket. I want to be very clear. It's the size of a human blanket, and Tula uses this blanket, and I see Tula using it when she sits down on a couch, and they put a TV, and she sits and she puts the blanket on her to watch TV, but I see her husband sit beside her, but I don't see Tula take the blanket and put it on him. She tucks it. Like she wraps herself in it. And sometimes like she'll put it around her shoulders like a shawl and wrap the whole blanket around her. So you can see her wrapping herself in the blanket and her husband sitting beside it, beside her, not under the blanket. This is important for later. So Lulu says to me, could you please tell her that one? And I said, absolutely. And oh my God, Kelly, the whole time that I get to hear and see and get all of these messages from Lulu, I'm just in love with Lulu. And I am totally laughing and just really enjoying the messages and what I'm seeing. And the relationship between them is freaking full of love and adorable. So I told Tula this and she was just over the moon. She was absolutely thrilled. And I said, Tula, do you understand what this means? Like, can you wrap your head around the fact that she's with you, that she's trying to validate I'm in the house with you? Oh, what? And she says, oh, no. She says, I just thought that maybe she was far away and watching it like on a TV. And I said, oh, I said, so you believe that your dog is far, far away, like maybe on another planet or something? And she goes, yeah. She says, and I said, so you just think she's watching you like on a TV screen or a computer? And she goes, mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I said, and what I'm trying to say to you is that Lulu is with you. We're trying to validate that she's right there. She's trying to give you like solid pieces of information to say you're wrapping yourself in this blanket. She's describing what the blanket is made out of, the size of it. She's trying to say, I'm with you. Her spirit is with you. That soul is with you. And she goes, I never would have got that. I never would have got that, Karen. She says, I have to think about that.
I feel like most people don't actually spend a lot of time thinking about or contemplating what they believe love is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what you're talking about between Lulu and Tula is not that different from a long-distance relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about the fact that if she really does think that Lulu is on a different planet, let's say, but she is watching Tula's life like she's tuned in to a TV channel, then the intention that Lulu has had is to spend her time tuning in to Tula. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is an incredible act of love to say, this is where I want to put my focus. This is where I want to put my energy. This is what I want to be in the know of. Mm-hmm. The same way when I was away at university, you would call, you know, twice a day to check in and say, hey, how was your test? Hey, what are you doing at home tonight? Hey, what's your evening look like? Like that is an act. And when I say an act, a choice to love, right? Mm-hmm. To be in love with someone and witness their life, even if you can't, ironically, I didn't see where this was going, even if you can't physically see what's happening, mm-hmm. you're making the choice to tune in, mm-hmm. right? And though there is physical distance in that situation, we would still say, my mom is with me. Mm. My mom is witnessing my life because the choice to tune in, to be in the know, is there. Mm-hmm. And yet most people just focus on the physical distance or the feeling of separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of actually evaluating what does love feel like, look like, sound like, sensory experience, right?
Yeah. 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 Then Lulu says to me, I need to talk about Dad. And I said, okay, tell me everything you want. And Lulu says, well, Dad's really grieving me, but isn't saying or doing anything to grieve. And Mom could make Dad could take a t-shirt, could take a sweatshirt, take one of those little pieces of a blanket and sew it on the inside so that he's wearing me like she is, but he's not going to sit and wrap himself in the blanket like she is. So, or she could buy, this was the other thing she said, she could buy him a t-shirt or a sweatshirt with my breed on it. He would wear that. And it could even say my name, like just small in the corner, like not like Lulu. Like big letters, but just really tiny, and he would love it. Or a little tag on the back or something. So I told Tula that. I said, okay, Lulu is suggesting something to help your husband move through his own grief. And so I told her, and she said, oh, Karen, she said, tell Lulu I'm so grateful for this because I absolutely could do that. And she's nailed it because ever since he's retired, all he wears is t-shirts and sweatshirts. He wears t-shirts in the summer and he wears t-shirts under the sweatshirts in the winter. And she goes, so I could easily get those things for him with the breed on the shirt. I could embroider a little tiny, her name on it. I could make tags to put at the bottom or tuck at the bottom or even put it on the outside, but and just put the breed on it, like in the bottom corner. And she says he would love something like that. She says, tell her thank you so much for helping me help him because I don't know how to help him.
For anyone who's listening to this and is like, oh, that's amazing and I don't know how to sew or anything, like all of this stuff is possible on Etsy.
All of this
is possible with a local like maker, mm-hmm. whether it's Cricut or a seamstress, right? Who mm-hmm. actually does sew and embroider. These are really common, thoughtful gifts nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Then Lulu shifts and I get to see this woman going to bed at night. And I get to see that she takes the blanket and she puts the blanket on her side of the bed. And I see stuffed toys in the bed.
Oh my God.
Yes, Kelly, I see dog toys in the bed. And Lulu says, you have to be specific about this.
Really? I feel like that was specific enough.
She says, they're not the squeaky ones. And I'm like, what? And she goes, oh no, this has to be specific. She says, I want you to say that there are no squeaky toys in the bed. That's a thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? And Lulu says, oh, it's a thing. She wanted to bring all the toys into bed, but when her husband would roll over, he'd roll over on a squeaky toy and wake up.
Okay. I'm going to say something, and I'm saying this from the most loving place in my heart. Tula, you also need therapy.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you're doing are beautiful tributes and intentional ways of incorporating your deceased dog. Mm-hmm. And this is complicated grief.
Yes.
And there's another word for it. And I just read it and I can't remember what the term is, but it's a form of grief that is not recognized by society, right? Mm-hmm. Where grief happens to us, loss happens to us, but it's not a socially acceptable kind of thing to grieve for a long period of time. Yeah. And so your grief is kind of left not witnessed, and we don't know what to do with it, and we can adapt to life, but at the same time, the grief isn't really going anywhere. And I would highly recommend for anyone who is resonating with this mm-hmm. to also consider therapy to process the grief. Mm-hmm. Not to say, never to say there's something wrong with you, to say mm-hmm. you need help processing something.
Mm-hmm. So Lulu shows me where she brings the toys into the bed and where the husband is angry because they're waking him up, and he tells her that she has to remove the squeaky toys.
So that was a very generous compromise.
Mm-hmm. So you can see where she has some of the stuffed toys in the bed. And Lulu says, point this out, please. So I did. I told her this one. And she said, oh, she says, this is another one that you can see. You see this, right? And you can see where she still wants me to be able to see things. So I confirmed and I said, correct. And I said, but Lulu is also talking to me. She's explaining things and I'm also listening to her. And there has to be some degree of inner knowing for me to be able to put all of these messages together, to be able to process them for you so that they make sense and they're not just a garbled mess. And she goes, oh, okay. So I said, it's just like being in regular life. You have to use all of your senses in order to process things in your brain. And Kelly, you already gave the message about therapy, so I will just say that the spirit guides came in and told her the same thing that you did, but I'll leave it at that.
Oh, there's a really big block, right? Like, yeah. If I tell you a story about something that happened in my life and you say, well, that's nice, but I need to see what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I need you to show me what happened. you're overprivileging a sensory experience to say, I can't trust information if I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And that's not how life works.
That's right. And then Lulu says, okay, this is the last message. We're out of time. She says, and I want to get this one in. She shows me a journal. And on the front of the journal, it's all dogs. And she says, this is Mom's journal. And she opens the journal and she says, look at what she writes at the top of the journal. And I see, I love you and I miss you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she says, and then she flips, Lulu flips every page so that I can see I love you and I miss you. And then I see writing on the page and I say to Lulu, what's in the rest of the page? And she goes, just her day. And I went, oh, okay. And she goes, so it's a journal like of her day. But she writes, I love you and I miss you in it. And then she actually just writes her own stuff. And I went, oh, okay. So I'm going to do that. And she says, and then just at the end, Karen, just tell her that I love her and that I'm done. And I went, okay.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. No, I want to pause. She did not say I love you and I miss you. She said I love you. I just think this is really cool. So Tula says, oh, I love you and yeah. I miss you.
Yeah, I get what you just
which
did.
Is fair. Which is fair.
Yeah.
But Lulu is coming back to say, I love you.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually
miss you.
Need to miss you. I'm That's literally right. here all the time. And I know what's going on in your day. And I'm here throughout it. So yes. It's just, I love you.
Yes. Yeah. So I repeated the message to her. And I said, oh, she's showing me a journal. It's got puppies on the front. This is what it says at the top of the page. And Tula just was like, oh my God, how did you get that message?
That one in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I said, well, I said, again.
She wants to know the sensory experience.
She wants to know the sensory experience again. And she says, you saw that. And I said, yes, I saw it. And she goes, you saw the writing at the top of the page. I said, yes, I read it to you. And she goes, my goodness, Karen, I didn't know mediums could do this. And I watched these shows.
Well, to be fair, not all of them can.
Exactly. And I said that. I said, well, absolutely. And I said, not everybody can. Not everybody remote views. Not everybody has that ability.
Not
and
all,
I said, and I wouldn't be able to do it in every session. I said, also, Tula, I said, somebody else might listen to this and go, oh, I'm going to call them up because I want them to read my journal to me. I want them to tell me exactly what I wrote on a gravestone for somebody. Well, I might not be able to do that. It's dependent on what the spirit world gives us, not what we demand or what people say I want. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a great delivery and it's a win and we're all happy. And sometimes it's a flat out no. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen because other things are coming in, other messages in other forms. And maybe that's where my attention goes. I don't really know. I don't understand all of the workings of how all of the messages happen. Anyways, she was just absolutely thrilled with that message, Kelly. And at that point in the session, she knows that we're getting to the very end of it. And I said, you know, I said, Lulu is just saying at the end of this that she loves you and that she just wants to wrap up the session this way. I have to honestly say to you, Kelly, you did a better job of analyzing that at the end of the session. I did not. I did not get it. We ran out of time and we had to go. And I just simply said to Tula, what a pleasure it was to talk to Lulu. Mm-hmm. Like, I found Tula difficult at times during the session. But at the very end of the session, Tula says to me, well, she says, I'm sorry I was such a pain. And I went, oh, okay, I accept that. And she went, honestly, Karen, she said, I just really thought from watching the shows on TV that they had to see everything. And she says, but you know what? She says, if I sit here and pause, that probably doesn't make sense that that's all they do either. She says, I got my own head. She says, I think I just got my own head about the whole thing and I made it harder on you than I needed to. I'm really sorry. She said, I feel so much relief knowing that Tool is okay and she's not mad at
Lulu.
Oh my God, Lulu isn't mad at me that I wasn't with her when she passed. That's what she went back to, Kelly.
Mm.
She goes, that's the thing that's been sitting in my heart. And she says, I think that's going to help me. She says, because that's what I've been stuck on. And she says, so every day I get up and I feel like I'm stuck in this.
Ooh, so did she, is she doing all of these things?
Yes.
So that Lulu can visually see that Tula is proving she loves her and misses her.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, hopefully she listens. That might have just been free therapy.
I think.
Because you don't have to keep proving to a dead person that you love them and miss them. They feel that energy.
Yes.
Ah. All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
like, I absolutely loved the way that her session ended and how she got to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in her own way, through all of this, as much as sometimes I found it frustrating, she was doing some work quietly.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic and which actually is the hope, for at least it is my hope, and I'm certain it's your hope.
Yeah, for every client.
For every single client, that they're sitting there and that they're actually present to do some work and not just to sit there and say, prove it, prove it. But that when you do get your proof, that you actually are absorbing that and changing your beliefs and your thoughts.
That's a fucking good Saturday.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.